Hallelujah. He's been faithful since the beginning. He'll be faithful all the way through. Praise the Lord. Sister Blue's going to come and sing for us tonight. And after she's done singing, Brother Blue's going to greet the church. And I appreciate the Blue family. I appreciate what they've done for you over the past few months, what they've done for the church and the body of Christ for years. And we appreciate them, don't we? And so we want her to come and sing. And then Brother Blue is going to take his liberty, amen, for a few moments.
Well, while I'm up here, I'm going to take this opportunity to share my heart with you tonight. I'm not real good when it comes to saying things really good. But I was just thinking, boy, these three and a half years. I'm not nervous. 3.5 months, it seemed like 3.5 years. No, but I was going to say, they've gone by really, really fast. I can't believe it's time for us to be leaving, but it's given us time to really learn some of you all that we really didn't know before, and we've learned to love you and appreciate you so much. And so many times, so many people have said something about us being a help to you all and being a balm of Gilead for you all, but I want you guys to know that you all have been a balm of Gilead for us as well, because you've been understanding and you've prayed for us and you've cared for us through our trials that we've gone through while we've been here, which seems so small to some of yours, but we've had some bumpy roads while we were here, and I want you to know that you helped us as well as us being with you, and I want to thank you all so much for your love and your kindness and all the meals that you provided for us and the gifts. You've been so good to us. And I really, really do love and appreciate you all. And so I'm not excited to leave, but it will be good to go home. So one thing I'm glad is that I feel like that we're going to be leaving you guys in some good hands. But one thing I wanted to share with Brother and Sister Cruz, I've had communication with little Mary, and she wanted me to make sure that you be careful, because she's got word that these people are going to give you a pounding. So be sure and wear your hard hat. And that was straight from little Mary. But as I was preparing for my song tonight, I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have me to sing. And this is a song that he gave me, and it seems to be going along with the theme of the service about the faithfulness of God. And you know, he has been so faithful to me throughout these years and throughout this time, throughout the situations in our life, and he still is faithful. This is an old song, and it's been a while since I've even sang it, but it came to my mind, and I just want it to be my testimony tonight about the faithfulness of God. In my moments of fear, through every pain and every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength is all gone, when my heart has no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised best is true. What I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still he's been faithful, faithful to me. He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I've even failed to believe, still he's been faithful, so faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then, God was faithful to me. Every time I come back to him, he is waiting with open arms, and I see once again. Hallelujah. He's been faithful, so faithful to me. Oh, looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still he's been faithful, so faithful to me. Help me sing it. Oh, he's been faithful, so faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still he's been faithful, so faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned and I failed to believe, still he's been faithful, so faithful to me. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And if you know that to be true, say amen. Amen. He's been faithful, hasn't he? In so many ways all through the years. And we appreciate the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. Well, I also want to say tonight how much we appreciate everything that you all have done to make us feel so welcome these last several months. And sorry, I couldn't resist that. But yes, these last several months have been so wonderful. And as Sister Blue said, we've had some losses in our family, some sadness and sickness. And, well, we're not going to recap all of that tonight. But the fact that you were willing to put up with us with all of our inconveniences and all of that was simply amazing to us, and your goodness and generosity, compassion. It's been a wonderful experience for us to have been a part of the Union Road Pentecostal Church for these last several months. And yes, I am feeling the same sentiment that I've heard several of you say. It's kind of a bittersweet day, except that I want to add this, that always when it comes to the people of God and the work of God, it is always much more sweet than bitter. And we're grateful for the sweetness of the Lord. And in some ways, I think of it like the salted caramel candies that Sister Becky gave us from Winans this week. And they're so delicious, you know, soft and chewy and gooey and sweet, caramel in the center, covered by milk chocolate. And some of you are shaking your head, nah. But some of you are going, yeah. And then a little sprinkling of sea salt on the top of it. And it kind of just gives it that little extra flavor. And you know what? Even in life, our salty tears somehow work together for the good and adding the layers of flavor to our experience with God. Amen. The depth of our knowledge of Him, even in our down times. And so while we may feel a little sadness in our saying goodbye tonight, it's just a sprinkling of salty tears. Amen. Mostly it's the sweetness of happy hellos and warm welcomes and a wonderful future and knowing that God is working all things together for the good because He's a good God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be with you all in this service. Good to see the Esteses, and the testimony of that ministry was amazing. And I'm going to say this one thing here because Brother Kenneth may not know this ongoing joke that Brother Aaron and I have had dating back a few weeks now when he was trying to tell what Brother Kenneth wanted to do this weekend and tell what I wanted to do this weekend and how that was all going to work out. And you might remember I stepped up here and I said, for right now, I'm the pastor and I have the microphone. But this is the last time, so I'm going to officially hand the microphone to you.
Brother, we might have a surprise. Did you get my text? Check. Yes, you. Yes. Pastor's mother. By permission of our pastor that you installed this morning, I have the microphone for just a moment. And if you would bear with me, I'm going somewhere. In about 40 minutes, 7:33 will roll around, and good grief, I didn't think I'd get emotional about this. It's been 10 years. My grandmother passed away. Today, it's been 10 years and just a few moments, and I remember that night vividly. We were all in her house, Brother Brad, in the kitchen. We had been eating a little bit, just sitting around. She was in her bedroom. We'd all walked out. Nobody was in there. And at some point, my grandpa got up and he slowly made his way in there and just sat down in a chair, never spoke a word. And there just was a different sense, a spirit almost, that came over the house of calm, of peace. And I remember going in there and one at a time, each of the family member, nobody said a word. There was no, I don't remember a word being spoken, but we each one made our way in there and sat down. And we sat there. I don't know how long we sat there. And finally, my grandpa, he leaned up and he said, "It's okay. You can go." And it was just a mere moments. And she made her final journey to her resting place. And I'll never forget that atmosphere, that scene, that just sitting there. And I don't like goodbyes. I'm not generally emotional. Not generally. But obviously, those of you who have grandchildren and your grandchildren live elsewhere, it's also hard to say goodbye to them. We go down to Georgia, and I generally make up an excuse to leave at the wrong time so we didn't have to plan it and say an official goodbye. It's like you guys need to go to church tonight and we'll slip out or we'll do something. It's not fun saying goodbye. And I think tonight we're excited. We're anticipating what God has in store for this church, and we're not detracting from that at all. But we have, and I think I can speak for everyone here, we have always, for years now, through Camp Dove, we have loved the Brother Blue and Sister Blue's ministry. But I think in the last few years, as you said, maybe just being with us, it felt like years. But in the last few months, we no longer love their ministry, but we have come to love them as people. And I think I can speak for everyone here. And the faithfulness, we sung earlier about the faithfulness of God. And the faithfulness of these two individuals to us, we appreciate. Did you get that? And are you okay with that? If you can come up. Brother Blue, if you could come over again. Against what you wished. I don't know how many know. You may have shared it with the church. About the time they came, they were looking for a new vehicle. And they made a trade. And in that trade, he not only traded away his vehicle, but he traded away his Bible. And I know he is, just as Pastor Kenneth does, I know he has more than one, but as a church, we want to give him a new Bible. And Sister Cruz, we could present Sister Blue. And could we show them one more time our appreciation for them?
Remain standing, all right? We're going to pray for the Blue family, all right? So we won't make Sister Blue come too far. We'll send Brother Blue to her. If you could, are you okay to come over here? Okay. All right. Thank you, sis. And if you just stand before the people, you can stay down there, Brother Blue. If you can come join her. Amen. I would like our leadership team, our board, and their wives to come gather around this family. And none of them knew we were going to do this, but I want us to pray for them. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And words can't express how much you mean to this church and this body. Praise the Lord. Stretch your hands this way. Amen. Let's pray for them. Jesus, I pray right now for Pastor Blue, Sister Blue. God, thank you for their life, their legacy, their faithfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for who they have been, not just for the kingdom of God, but, Lord, for this church. I pray that you will minister to them, provide for them, strengthen them, continue to use and open doors, God. You've got to work. There's still fruit to be brought forth from their ministry. And so we pray that you would open every door, guide every step. And, Lord, we pray a prayer of blessing over them, Jesus, for the work, the sacrifice, Lord, the shepherding that they did over this flock. We pray that you would keep your hand on them. Lord, I pray for healing in their bodies. I pray for strength in their spirits. God, we pray for joy and peace as they move forward. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead, guide, direct, and anoint their ministry. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Please bless this family. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Brother and Sister Blue, we appreciate you so, so much. And I'll give her a way out from that. That 3.5 months is actually in pastor years, several years. Praise the Lord. So pastoring years is a lot like dog years. Amen. To human years. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know time is getting away from us this evening. And we have plans for in the fellowship hall here in just a moment. But if you'll give me a few moments here, I feel like the Lord would have something to say to us as a body of believers. I just want to obey the Lord and follow the Lord. Thank you for the Bible. I'm using it tonight. Praise the Lord. And this is probably the nicest Bible I've ever owned. So thank you, church, for this. Matthew chapter 16. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I'm only going to take a few moments here. Before we stand for the reading of the word, I do want to say a few thank yous. Thank you to many of you. I see several family members that I haven't seen in years. I have my Aunt Judy and my Uncle Randy and some of their kiddos, my cousins here, and thankful that they're here, and some friends from the past are here. So we're glad that they've come tonight. I want to say thank you to everybody who has played a part in welcoming us to our new home. And your kind words, your text messages, phone calls, video chats over Marco Polo. Many of you volunteered to even come down to help us move from Texas to up here. So thank you for those who showed up yesterday to unload those U-Haul boxes. I tell you, men, we got that done in record time. Praise the Lord. And appreciate all of you for the meals and the food and the whatever the pounding is that's about to come. Thank you for that. And that list could go on and on and on. I want to say thank you for having confidence in my wife and I and our family to vote us in as your pastors. We are looking forward to the future that God has for us here. And I do hope it's 33 years. Praise the Lord. If not longer, I don't know how long the Lord should tarry. And I don't know if I want a pastor when I'm 71, but I'll see what happens. Praise the Lord when we get there. Thank you, board members, for stepping into roles that you probably never thought you'd have to fill during this past few months of the ministry here at Union Road. Again, thank you, Pastor Blue, for filling the void and leading the charge and keeping the church focused forward. Praise the Lord. Preaching the truth, amen. Stoking the flames of revival and all the things that you have done over the past few months. Thank you, Brother and Sister Blue, very, very much. I want to say thank you to my wonderful wife, Sister Katie, for believing in the vision that God has for our lives and for following God's will alongside of me, endeavoring to pastor and serve in the ministry. My wife is definitely the better half of our team, and I appreciate her very much. And everybody knows she's the better half. Praise the Lord. And I thank her immensely. Thank you to my kids, Hannah, Ethan, and Leah, for being willing to move to a new place with new faces, for being willing to sacrifice the familiar to follow the call of duty that God has placed upon their lives. So Hannah, Ethan, and Leah, thank you. All right. Daddy says thank you. Amen. Most of all, thank you, Jesus, for counting us faithful, putting us into the ministry, this ministry. I'm thankful that the Lord has opened the doors according to His sovereignty, providence, and perfect will, and I'm thankful for this appointment. Praise the Lord. And God's going to keep us by His grace. Amen. He's going to keep us by His grace. Praise the Lord. Stand with me for the reading of the Word, and we'll try to quit making you up and down tonight. But just bear with this. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to notice verse 18 there. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful to be a part of His church. And I want to preach to you with the thought tonight on to be continued, all right? To be continued, praise the Lord. You may be seated. You've all heard many sermons over the past several months or years, as Sister Blue has said, about seasons and transition and different things and change and overcoming change. And I haven't listened to all the sermons that have been preached here over the past 3.5 or 4 months, but I know that that's a fact. There's been a lot of sermons preached in that direction, trying to help and guide and encourage and strengthen this specific body of believers. And no doubt hard times have been spoken about on a routine basis. And I'm sure that will happen some more in the future as we get into this more and more. But today, tonight, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage us as a body, as a portion of the body of Christ, that God has not stopped working. Can I hear an amen? He's not stopped working for us. He's not stopped working in us. And he's not stopped working through us. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. God's not stopped working for us. He's not stopped working in us. And he has not stopped working through us. Hallelujah. And there are a lot of questions about change. What might happen? What's going to happen? What won't change? What will you keep the same? Are you going to do this? Are we going to do that? And all of that is relevant. Let me just put those questions at ease. There will be some change and there will be some things stay the same. Woo, that was scary, wasn't it? There will be a period of all of us getting used to new things. There's going to be an adjustment that's going to be made on all fronts. But Union Road, we are on a mission. Come on now. I said we are on a mission. We're here to build the kingdom of God, to build the church of the living God. So what God started in this assembly of believers, Union Pentecostal Church, nearly 100 years ago, what God started is still moving forward. Hallelujah. There is a work to be continued. Can I hear an amen? Again, God is working in us. He's working for us, and he's working through us. He's the God not only of the past, but he's the God of the present, and he's the God of the future. Praise the Lord. He was the one empowering and equipping through every season that the church has ever been through. And church, let me tell you, he won't stop now. Amen. I said he won't stop now. Rather, I believe God has something in store that equates to more than you and I can imagine or even think. Amen. Let me say that again. God has more in store for you, for this church, for this body, more than we can imagine or even think. Pastor, how can you say that? Because I read it in the Word. I'm so glad you asked. How do I know that? Before we get to the text, I want to point your attention to the first few verses of the chapter. This is going to be more of a different style of sermon than I normally preach, but I just had some things I needed to share from my heart with you tonight. Praise the Lord. I won't take the time to read the first 4 verses of this chapter, but if you can just indulge me for just a moment, I want to allude to them here. In the beginning of chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they've joined forces. Those religious leaders who are always at odds with one another, they found something to unite upon, and it is trying to tempt Jesus, to come against Jesus, to do something to destroy the ministry of Jesus. That was their desire at the beginning of chapter 16 in the book of Matthew. They're trying to find a way to discredit Jesus Christ. And so they tempt him. They say, hey, won't you give us a sign from heaven? We want you to give us a sign. What was the sign for? Why were they asking for a sign? Probably they wanted him to prove himself to them. They wanted Jesus to do something, fulfill something miraculous, do something that would leave no doubt in their minds that he was the Christ. But it was an attempt to try to get him to get off track. And Jesus, knowing who he is and being self-aware, he would not indulge those men with their request with an action, but he spoke to them. And this is what Jesus did. He called them hypocrites. Praise the Lord. He said, you can discern the weather by looking at the skies. He said, you walk out of your rooms in the morning, you look up and you say, wow, it's going to be rainy today. It's going to be cold today. The sky is showing us these things are about to happen. He said, you are a hypocrite. You can see all of those things, but you won't pay attention to the signs of the times. Hallelujah. You're completely unaware. Why was he calling them a wicked and adulterous generation? Why was he talking to them as if they were hypocrites? Because they were men who should have been learned about the signs that pointed to the Messiah, and all of those things were coming to pass and they were missing it. And Jesus said, I'm not going to give you a sign right now, but there will be a sign given to you, the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was that sign? Jonah was in the belly of the whale for how many days? 3. And Jesus would go into the belly of the earth, into the grave, and he would rise again on which day? That was the sign of the prophet Jonah, the sign that Jesus was pointing to. He was saying to them that I'm not going to give you a sign today, but there is going to be a sign. That resurrection power, amen, is going to be the proof and the sign. And church, let me tell you, his resurrection power is what lives inside of us. Can I hear an amen? If you are by the blood of Jesus, a born-again Christian, the resurrection power of Jesus lives inside of you. But the signs of the times was what Jesus had referenced there in connection with the religious groups that had come against him, and they couldn't recognize what season they were even in because the Messiah was right before them. Now, in Ohio, we can tell the seasons that we're in by the signs, can't we? And the mornings begin to get cooler, the leaves start to change colors. We know we're about to be in the season of fall. When things start to get even colder than that, and all the leaves hit the ground, and the cold wind starts to blow, and it starts to get darker earlier, we know we're approaching winter. And when winter snow begins to melt and the days begin to get warmer and the sun seems to shine brighter and the days get a little bit longer, we know we're in the season of spring. And you know what I'm talking about. Even after that, we know when we're in the season of summer because we've become aware of the signs. Hallelujah. And spiritually, church, we must be aware of the signs surrounding us. The religious leaders of Christ's day missed it because it wasn't how they assumed it would be. They couldn't reconcile a man like Jesus being the Christ. They couldn't reconcile a man from Nazareth being the one that was promised by the Father. Yet the signs pointed to who Jesus truly was. And so we come to the text in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is alone with his disciples. They're at the entrance of a town called Caesarea Philippi. And right there, Jesus asked them a couple of questions. We're going to get to that in a moment. But he asked them a couple of questions, but let me explain some things about that city, if I can, very quickly here. Caesarea Philippi was a city dedicated to the worship of false gods, especially to the worship of Baal. Many considered Caesarea Philippi as a gateway to the underworld. Literally, in the minds of the pagan, the town of Caesarea Philippi were the gates of hell. So right there in that city, at the gates of hell, as many thought, Jesus said, these gates, amen, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Oh, praise the Lord. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. But Jesus asked these men two important questions right there in Caesarea Philippi. The first question he asked is this: whom do men say that I am? And he's asking for an opinion of those that are around them. He wants to know what people are speaking of him. I'm sure he already knew what they were saying. He knew the hearts of men. He knew what was in their minds. I'm sure he already knew what was being spoken. But Jesus, he had a point for his words. Every word Jesus spoke, he spoke for a purpose. He never spoke out of turn. He never spoke to fill the air. And he didn't speak because he loved to hear the sound of his own voice. He spoke for a purpose. There was substance to what he was saying. So he asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" And the disciples answered him in unison, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, a man who had recently been beheaded and come back to life. And others say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And so the people, when they come to Jesus and saw him and heard him and saw the works that he did, what they were trying to do was reconcile this new phenomena with something that they were already associated with, something they already knew about. That's often how we try to rationalize things, isn't it? We try to make sense of things and base it on our experience and just make sense of it by what we already know, our opinions of things based on our experience and what we've already learned in the past. But church, God loves to do new things. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus lets them talk for a minute. He asks them another question. He says, "Okay, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" Why do you have to get so personal there, right? You know, I found when you start to get personal with people, they either tend to draw back in response or maybe, and sometimes they kind of push beyond that and are able to get a breakthrough. And so Jesus got a little personal with them. "Who do you say that I am?" Church, I want you to get this tonight. The most important thing about you, whether you're 37, 77, 107, or only 7, the most important thing about you is what you believe about Jesus. All right? And that's when the disciples, they break rank. They're not as quick to make a statement there in unison as they were the first question. It seems like they all answered together, but this time they get asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And the only person to speak up, Brother Philip, we talked about it, about Peter in Sunday school this morning, was Peter. Always ready to give his opinion, right? He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Praise the Lord. I mean, a common fisherman saw what the learned religious missed. Jesus was more than just a man. Can I hear an amen? He was more than just a man, more than just a good prophet, more than just a good teacher. He was the Son of God. Praise the Lord. And Jesus goes on to say a few things I believe that are very important here. He said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." In other words, Simon, you didn't try to make this make sense with something you already knew. You didn't reconcile this with something physical or experiential or anything like that. Simon, this revelation is spiritual. It came from the Father. He said, "My Father has revealed this to you." Amen. That word "revealed" means to uncover something hidden or a mystery, a divine revelation, especially to uncover something with the intention of making the inner dealings obvious to those who's uncovering it. Praise the Lord. Church, there's so much to uncover. I remember one of the first sermons I ever wrote in Bible college. I turned it in to Brother Daniel Taylor there at Bible Holiness there at OBI in Neosho. And I thought, you know, I thought this is going to be it. This is my ticket. He's going to say, "Man, you've got it. Praise the Lord." And I was like, "Man, I'm going to leave a big impression. My freshman year, I'm going to be the best sermon writer Brother Taylor's ever seen." I give it in to him. And he hands it back to me a couple days later. And this is what he said. He said, "You had a good thought." Amen. "But there was so much more." Praise the Lord. Church, there's so much more. Come on now. There's so much more. We've just scratched the surface, hallelujah, of all that God can do. And God desires us to do more than just scratch the surface. He wants to reveal the inner makeup of his mysteries and his plans. And Peter's knowledge of Christ, it went beyond just a surface knowledge. Well, you've got some power and you speak some good words and you've got some wisdom. See, his knowledge went beyond just knowing those things. It went more than just being based on those fishes and loaves that Jesus was able to multiply. That knowledge was spiritual. It was deep, and Peter was convinced, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now let me get to the main part of the message, and I'm not going to take much longer today. But Jesus said, "I say also unto you, Peter, that your name is Peter. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to say, I don't believe that Jesus was saying that Peter was the rock upon which he would build his church. Jesus is our rock. Amen. Amen. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that everything, our foundation, hallelujah. Our rock is not a man, hallelujah. Peter was a worker, don't get me wrong. Peter was a waterer. He was a planter. He was involved in the church, in the rising of the church. But it was God that gave the increase after the work was done. Jesus is the rock. He is our foundation. And the truth of what Peter said, who Jesus is, that's the foundation of the church. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Who he is, what he did, and what he does, that is what makes the church the church. That's why we're the church. Siri's talking back to me. Praise the Lord. That's why we do what we do, church, because of who he is and what he does. Now, we're not Peter's church. Can I hear an amen? We're not Paul's church. We're not Luther's church. We're not Apollos' church. We are God's church. And what we do because of him, and we do for him. We are his church. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Hallelujah, we are a part of God's church. It doesn't matter what the name is on the sign. That doesn't make you any more or any less God's church, does it? Amen. It doesn't matter the reputation. Reputation does matter. But don't get me wrong when I say this. Reputation is not what makes us God's church. The denomination or the movement that we're in does not make us God's church. Hallelujah. I worked with a man down in Texas. He was a man born into the Church of Christ, brought up in the Church of Christ, and he married a girl who was a Methodist girl. And when they got married, they went to a Methodist church. And when he'd come back to visit his home, they would go visit the Church of Christ. They would let the man take the communion with the Church of Christ. But the Methodist girl, she wasn't allowed, amen, to take communion because she was a Methodist. He said, "Well, I go to a Methodist church. Why can't I take it?" "Well, we believe you'll come back, amen, to the Church of Christ." Praise the Lord. But church, it's not about Methodist or Pentecost or Baptist or those kind or whatever the denomination may be. If you are bought by the blood of Jesus, you are a part of the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Race or creed does not make us his church. What makes us his church is that Jesus a long time ago paid a debt he did not owe. Hallelujah. For you and I to be made free from our sin and our flesh. We are a part of his church. And finally, because we're a part of God's church, we will continue on. Amen. Come on now. I don't know what God has in store, but I know it's to be continued. Hallelujah. Those were the words, if you were ever watching a cartoon, you hated to see at the end of an episode. To be continued. Especially in the era that I grew up in. I mean, you had to have a VHS recorder, amen? Unless you were going to be there. Praise the Lord. If you were reading a comic book, at the end of that comic strip or the comic book, a lot of times, to be continued. And you hated to see that because you wanted to see the end of the story. And that those words, to be continued, they left you hanging. And the attempt was to build us to a climax. Now, church, with that sermon title tonight, I'm not leaving you hanging with those words this evening. But I'm trying to encourage us, Union Pentecostal Church, that we are continuing on. Hallelujah. We are moving forward, and we are building to a climax. Can I hear an amen? We're going towards a climax. Why? Because we are a part of God's church. Now, sometimes that phrase, to be continued, left a lot to be desired. You'd come back and see the end of the story, and it wasn't so climactic. I heard some say that fight on Friday night, I didn't see it, but I know it was talked up and hyped up and all that, and a lot of people were let down. They thought, man, this wasn't even worth the price or worth it. It wasn't a good fight at all. But church, when I tell you that God's church is to be continued. It is going to be climactic. Hallelujah. It is coming to an end one of these days. And there's a lot more that's going to happen before we get there, before we hear the trumpet sound. I believe that the best days of the church are ahead. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And he started building it, and he's still building it, and he will continue to build it until the day that we sang about this morning, those clouds be rolled back like a scroll, and the trump sounds, and the Lord appears. Hallelujah. The church is going to continue on until that day, and while we have time, we will continue to work and build the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? How do you know, Pastor, that this church will continue on and roll on and run on and build on and grow on? Because of the promise. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So what that means is no matter what comes against us, the church always rises triumphant. I said the church always rises triumphant. And at the end of the age, Jesus comes back, not just for the dead in Christ. We read he comes back also for those that are alive and remain. What is that? That is the church. Hallelujah. He's going to come. Yes, the dead in Christ will rise, but there will still be a church of living souls that is moving forward and continuing on. We know this because when the disciples were about to be left by the ascending Messiah, he gave them a promise. Church, listen, he said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Again, it is because of who he is and what he has done and what he does. That's why we continue on. But he promised us all these works and greater shall you do. Whether that means in number or in power is not what matters. The proof is in the promise that as long as we're breathing, we're not done. Can I hear an amen? God's church continues on and we see things that are going to happen. There's another promise in the word. I love this promise. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Praise the Lord. That means that the best is yet to come. Woo, the best is yet to come. Now, let me clarify. I don't say that because I'm a new pastor in town. I don't say that. If I said that because I was the new pastor, that would be pridefully foolish. Trust me, I don't believe it's because of anything I can do, but I believe in the promises of the book. Praise the Lord. And what I mean is this. As Brother Blue handed the baton off this morning, he talked about those in the past, right? He talked about those at the very beginning of the church and how they passed the baton from one to another. And just like we pass the baton one to another, we build one upon the other. Praise the Lord. So when I stand behind this pulpit, I'm standing on the shoulders of the founding pastor and then Brother Vaughn, praise the Lord, Brother Hurst, and Brother Blue. Hallelujah. We build one upon the other. And I believe that God has great things in store. And one runner in that relay race, Brother Blue, finishes the race. But they all have the same value. They all mean something to the team. Hallelujah. I watched some of the relays during the Olympics this year. And it's amazing what can happen in those races. I mean, they just start running, and the strategy is important there. They place certain runners in certain positions to enhance their strengths and enhance the strength of the team. And when a certain runner gets the baton, it's almost like the team knew that this is the point, praise the Lord, where we take the lead. This is the point where we run the hardest and we run the fastest. This is the point. And now I don't know which runner I am, praise the Lord. I'm not real fast. I used to be kind of fast, and I might be able to beat Brother Blue in a race. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But we won't race tonight in the Vaughn Hall, okay? I don't know which runner I am. I don't know where what God has in store completely. But I do know this. We're going to continue on. we're going to run that we may obtain. We're going to run and we're going to fight. Praise the Lord, and we're going to see things happen. We're going to build the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord, and God has promised us. I believe we're near the end. I believe the last days are upon us. But should he last 100 years, we're going to be found faithful, amen, all the way through, and we are going to continue on. Amen. If our music could come tonight, Sister Katie, Sister Tricia, Brother Brad, come. Union Road, we will still see souls saved. Amen. We will still see people filled with the Holy Ghost. We will still see miracles and signs and wonders. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe this church, we will still send missionaries out into the world. Come on now. Hallelujah. I believe, and it may be one of these little children that are here right now. They might be the next missionaries to go and preach the gospel to foreign lands. I believe there will still be pastors that come from the ranks of this church. Can I hear an amen? I believe our teenagers are going to get married and have families that eventually play a vital role in God's kingdom. And in this church, the church is going to continue on. We are going to continue on. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you will tonight. We're about to come and pray. But remember, what you believe about Jesus is the most important thing about you. And here's something to consider as we get ready to pray. What you believe about the church is very significant in how you will operate within the body of Christ. And I want to look at every one of you tonight and tell you, you play a significant role in the kingdom of God. You play a vital part in this church. You play an important part. Nope. Look around you real quick. Just look around. The person sitting next to you is not more important than you, and they're not less important than you. Every single one of you plays an important part, from the youngest to the oldest. You're vitally important to the kingdom of God and the continuing on of this body of believers. Praise the Lord. And the vision that God has for Union Pentecostal Church is going to continue to grow and continue to build. And I believe with all my heart, amen, we're going to see a harvest. Hallelujah. We're going to see a harvest. We're going to see a great revival. Should the Lord tarry, we're going to see things happen that maybe everybody thought weren't possible. Things that ended. That ended. No, we're going to continue on. Amen? We've got to. For my kids, for your kids, for our grandkids. And if the Lord tarries our great grandkids, we got to continue on. And I want to be a part of that. How about you? I want to be a part. So here's what I want us to do when we pray tonight. Amen. I want you to pray, God, Lord, let it start in me. Whatever you want to do in this church, in my life, let it start right now. Revival, let it start in me. Burn a fire in my spirit. Start a fire down in my heart, Lord, that cannot be contained. And when you're done praying that for yourself, I want you to pray for somebody around. I want you, fathers, you pray for your kids. Mothers, pray for your kids. Pray for your spouses. Lord, help us as we go forward, as we continue on into this next season. Let us be a church, hallelujah, that's a beacon of hope and a light, amen, to those around us, a place where people can find Jesus and find help and find hope and find rest. That's what I want to be. How about you? Everyone that will, come and find you a place to pray. Lord, make us your church. Help us, God, to be obedient to your vision. Help us to follow your purpose. Hallelujah, everyone. Lord, anoint me in your kingdom. Hallelujah, to continue on, to play the part that you have for me. Hallelujah, to continue moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. Continue building forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
From the beginning.
Come on, yes. Glory to God.
You've been unchanging. Age to age you stay. Constant you remain. Every mystery, the questions I've carried, are safe within your will. So I trust you even still.
I believe you are who you say you are. You do what you say you do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. So I'm running through parted waves straight to you. You are always.
Jesus, you're for me, holding me steady. Every word you speak is a promise that you keep. This firm foundation cannot be shaken. Never want you, never will.
I believe you are who you say you are. You do what you say you'll do. You'll come through. You are always able. I believe you've already made a way. That the gates of hell will not prevail. Your church is still alive and well. It's gospel truth I live to tell. I believe that one day soon you'll split the sky. You're coming for a spotless bride. Until my faith has been made sight. I believe that the gates of hell will not prevail. your church is still alive and well. This gospel truth I live to tell. I believe that one day soon you'll split the sky. You're coming for